Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Millennial Love. We hope you enjoyed our first episode and we are really excited to be back. Today, we have myself, Rachel Hosey,
me, Olivia Petter,
and me, Jochen Eppley.
And the first topic we're going to talk about today is the very interesting results of a new study by Match.com, the dating site. Now, they released this the results of this study that basically was saying what is the ideal man and woman in the UK. And we were really surprised by some of the things they found. Like, the main thing we would take away is that men like blonde, blue-eyed women, shock horror, but women like average men with their word, not ours, dad bods. Now, what do you guys think?
The dad bod thing is just so bizarre. I'm sorry, that is so strange. Why? Why would women? I know that it's kind of cool, but like, what is it about the dad bod?
I like to think it would go the other way, and then like, men would also like women who don't look like supermodels, but I don't think it does.
Yeah, maybe this is the start of the mum bod, you know, is that...
Mum bod?
Yeah, maybe that's what's... Maybe this is where we're going, just general portliness.
I think that's what we need.
That should be a thing.
I think it's like when men describe women as... What do they say? What do they say? Like, you want to have something to cuddle. Is that a similar thing to the dad bod
thing? Childbearing hips.
Childbearing hips, exactly. A previous male companion of mine once told me I was highly cuddleable. And oh. I took that as a compliment.
He meant it as a compliment.
I don't know how he meant it.
Someone, a friend of mine, once described his girlfriend as voluptuous and she was so upset.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's like when you call a boy cute. They don't like that generally, do they?
No, well, I speak as a man with a baby face, so I'm kind of used to it. And also one dimple as well, so I'm like semi-cute. But yeah, I mean, I don't particularly mind it. Like, I mean, incredible, I take it as a compliment. I'd rather be cute than, what's the opposite of cute? Just like slightly unnerving. I wouldn't want to do that.
No, I've never described a man as slightly unnerving. But I mean, I would probably just avoid him if he was.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing about this survey is that it found that the most attractive profession a woman can have, apparently, is to be a freelancer.
Well, first of all, a freelancing what?
Well, exactly.
But, like, what is attractive about sitting at home all day in your pyjamas, eating ice cream at whatever time you please? Like, that's what freelancers do. Like, what do they think that freelancers do?
I think you've just made a lot of freelancers really angry.
The freelancers I know spend their days in their pyjamas and revel in that joy.
Also, it's interesting because, I mean, like, people don't talk about salary, like, high salary jobs are supposedly attractive, whereas freelancing is quite volatile. Like, it's not as if you have a steady income. But that is interesting. I do find the whole idea of like jobs becoming attractive very strange. Like, I don't really, it's not really a consideration for me. I don't know if that's just maybe I'm in the minority, but.
I mean, it probably sounds really shallow, but are there jobs I find more attractive than others?
I get
yes.
Yeah, I mean, women said they prefer doctors and vets.
Yeah.
Which I totally get, because it's the caring thing and it's kind of...
But then you also have to be intelligent to be
a
doctor or
exactly.
a vet. Shows commitment. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to work hard. But interesting that it's clearly not about the money, though, because otherwise you think people would go for, like, bankers and lawyers and accountants and you know, really fun jobs like that and the money. But I sort of wonder if the freelancer thing is actually about maybe men just sort of think that if a woman is freelance or self-employed, she can literally just fit around a man's schedule.
Yeah, always around.
Yeah, which I mean, I think it's just, I don't
it
like
probably
that.
Isn't true either. I mean, I did say my freelancers, the freelancers I know spend all day at home, but they work ridiculous hours because they set it themselves. So they could be working till like 3 a.m, whereas, you know, you won't, unless you're a banker, I suppose, you wouldn't necessarily be in the office that late. So it's totally opposite.
A peculiar choice, for sure.
I think as well, the interesting thing as well is going back to the idea of the average build. Because average in what way? It didn't really say.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about average height as well, that is really interesting. Because actually, like, from what I hear from my guy friends who, like, use dating apps, so many women specify, like, under 6 foot need not apply. Have you seen that?
I have seen that, yes.
Have you?
Yeah. No, I mean, not so much. Like, I feel if they have that in that bio, there's going to be a lot of other demands as well. You know what I mean? Like, you know the ones
so
I'm talking about.
It's a
about
red
ones.
Flag.
Yeah, precisely. And it's, I mean, it's maybe not the kind of person I particularly would want to go for. But, I mean, speaking as a guy who's 6'7", like...
Supposedly.
Okay. Subject to some debate.
I think you're can 6'5" tops, but
it's,
I mean...
It's a malicious rumour. I'm 6'6" at the very least. I'm a liberal 6'7". 6'6½" to be...
Everyone rounds up. Everyone rounds
anyway,
up.
Anyway, I should say, I can't... And I don't think I've ever been shunned because of my height. Whereas I know some of my small friends certainly have, small male friends. So, yeah, that is interesting.
Quite interestingly, I actually found a study from last year that concluded that height is the factor women care about most in a man, and they found that a greater height difference in a couple was positively related to the wife's happiness, which I think is crazy. But they did also find that the happiness that the wife got from how much taller her husband was than her decreased over time. And once you've been married for 18 years, it was completely redundant, which I think is hilarious.
So funny.
It's like, what is it? The novelty of... I don't know.
Dating someone taller than you.
I think it's... At the end of the day, I think a lot of women like feeling protected.
Yeah.
As even as fiercely independent as you may be, a lot of women like... That you want to feel small as well.
But just because someone's tall, like, doesn't mean they're going to protect you. I mean...
No,
like,
of course not.
I guess, you know, it depends. Just because they're tall, they could be super lanky and have no muscles. Or just because, you know, they're not necessarily...
They're lanky.
No, I know. But, you know, that's not necessarily going to, you know, punch up some dude that flirts with you in a cinema or something. They probably wouldn't. Not that anyone should ever do that.
Sweet experience.
That anyone should ever do that, ever. Definitely thinking of a film.
I once totally insulted a guy I was dating when I said, oh, you know, plenty of girls like lanky guys, meaning like I was one of them, and he was so offended that he thought I was calling him lanky. And it, anyway,
is
it
lanky
didn't.
An insult?
Well, I didn't I think so. That's why I said it.
Over a certain height, unless you're like an absolute behemoth, you're gonna be lanky, aren't you?
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with
it. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. But anyway, as the study shows, average, also great.
Yeah, well, that's nice, isn't
it? Still aspire to be average.
Yeah.
Ambitious.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I know. Anyway, another interesting thing we've been talking about recently, which has had a lot of press and a lot of coverage, is a very worrying thing. It's the rise of sex robots. And these are exactly what they sound like, but they're scarily lifelike. Some pictures came out recently from inside one of these like factories, these workshops where they create them in the US. This is a place called Realbotics in San Diego. And they create these dolls that are so technologically advanced, they can talk, and even simulate orgasm during sex. It's crazy.
It's so creepy. I just also find it really creepy what they look like as well, because we were saying this earlier, they're between, I think they weigh between 75 pounds and 110 pounds. So they're no more than 49 kilos.
It's nothing.
Which is the size of a small child. I mean, they are so, so tiny. And, you know, you said some of them are, I think, 5'10" tall, which means they're even slimmer. And then they've got, like, I don't know, 5 different faces, but 42 different types of nipples.
Yeah, it's crazy. They actually have, they have 6 body shapes, 16 faces, 5 skin tones. You can choose the eye colour, the hair, the breast size. You can choose if you want there to be hand-painted features like freckles and veining. And the crazy thing is they have 14 different labias, which can be removed and washed in the dishwasher.
It's a small print.
Imagine just getting out your plates and bowls and, oh, a labia. Oh my God. What do you think, Jochen?
Very, very disturbing, I think. I mean, on the very, very face of it, maybe just like, it's just like a natural progression from, I mean, because like porn is just like, it gets even more and more like, I know, high production quality, maybe it's a natural progression, but I don't think it is, because it's just, there's, when it's like a physical thing and when it's so close to mimicking like a real life woman, I mean, it's a very psychological thing as well. Like, it's a very, I feel like power comes into it quite a lot. Especially the fact that, I mean, like, for example, some of them, I forget the name, but some of them are like programmed to kind of be like submissive.
Yeah.
Which is very peculiar. And I mean, I was reading about it earlier, and I saw some people arguing that, you know, if people have these kind of tendencies, isn't it better that they're taking them out on a doll? But then obviously I think that it just kind of normalizes it and kind of like makes it acceptable. And then if you do, you know, kind of come into contact with a real person, it's going to be hard to differentiate between, you know, your actions of a robot and your actions of a human, which is a very peculiar concept.
What really worries me is the fact that a robot, there's no notion of consent. A robot can't give consent. If you have a sex robot, you just think it's, you know, it's going to happily have sex with you whenever you want it to. And there's that whole idea about, everyone was talking about this frigid Farah robot, which there's been a lot of talk about it. I don't know if anyone's actually seen it, if it exists. But it's supposed to have this setting, like you said, that you can program the doll to resist your sexual advances. And that's basically allowing men to like act out rape fantasies, which is so messed up. And I think if you can do that on a doll or a robot, I think that is going to, you know, make you have those impulses with real women. And because they're so lifelike, it's going to be hard to differentiate. I think as well, how is a man going to react when they've had experience with a robot and then they, you know, are with a woman who has free will and can't just be programmed to be exactly what you want her to be? And like these robots are crazy. You can program them to like recite your favorite poetry.
It's so creepy. And the way they legitimize it, they say that, oh, you know, well, they're not replicating women, we're not, you know, robots have no rights, kind of thing. But that, like you said, that makes it no better.
And yeah, even worse.
No, it's even worse. And a lot of the men who have these robots are married with kids, and their wives don't mind that they have these things living in their house with them. And there was that guy that went on this morning with his robot and said that his robot has a family mode. She tells jokes to the kids, they play with her. And how weird is that? And like,
it's strange for the kids growing up as well, like having that as like your mother figure.
Yeah.
The thing is, clearly so many people like us are totally disgusted by it, but clearly there are also loads of people who are into it. I mean, it's crazy. These robots, the ones in San Diego, can cost up to £11,700, which is insane. But apparently there's like a backlog of orders for weeks and weeks and weeks. And because, so in Austria, prostitution is legal. And apparently there's a growing trend there in where people come to brothels and they prefer robots over sexual intercourse with a human, which is messed up.
Because they'll do whatever they say.
Yeah, I presume so. And yeah, this is like the industry, the whole sex tech thing is really booming and really growing. And I think it's scary.
Yeah, it is. I mean, even if you did get one of these and you weren't, I mean, you had a very, like, straightforward approach to it. The whole idea of, like, the manufacturers being able to, like, if it was all, like, smart, you know, like, smart technology, they'd be able to tell, like, when you had sex, like, how long you had it for, and all this data would just be, like, collected, which is entirely terrifying.
It's like a for Fitbit.
But for how many times you go at it, like, that's really scary. Like, the most intimate thing, just to be, you know. And what if someone hacks that? That's I mean, there's a lot of unanswered questions here.
You have had 16 orgasms today.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? But you know what? That's actually not far off. I remember a while ago, earlier this year, there was this big announcement about a company making what was essentially called like a smart condom. It was essentially a condom ring, but or a penis ring or whatever. And it was literally like a Fitbit for sex, and it would tell you, you know, how many thrusts you did, calories you burned. And the idea is that then you store all this data in an app and you can connect with your friends and compare. I mean, what? It's
not a healthy behavior, is it?
That's wearable tech gone too far.
That's really scary.
Anyway, should we move on to a slightly lighter note?
Yes.
So the final topic for discussion today is one that is always really divisive. Well, it is whenever I talk to my friends anyway. Who should pay on the first date? Because obviously, you know, going back into however many years ago, I, as far as I'm aware, it was very normal that a man would always pay. Whereas now, you know, we're all for equality. Should that still be expected? So many women don't want it. What do you guys think?
My philosophy is always go half and half. I don't really see how you can go wrong with that. Because you're not offering to pay, so it's not patronising. You're not asking them to pay, which is just, like, rude. I mean, like, it's just, I don't see any reason why that wouldn't be a good thing.
I feel like it can be a minefield for men because they think that some women will be offended if they don't offer to pay and some women will be offended if they do.
I would like to throw back to a moment in one of my favourite TV shows, Love Island. I don't know if you watched it, but there was a moment of debate with Camilla and Johnny, two of the characters. And
I like how you called them characters.
Yeah, well, that actually just came up. But yes, they probably were. Anyway, they were talking about dating, what their first date would be like. And Camilla was like, would you pay? And Johnny was like, yeah, well, of course I would. I'd be offended if you didn't let me pay. And she was really taken aback by that and kind of said, really? I'd be offended if you said that if you insisted on paying. And then he goes, you're a feminist, aren't you? And she was kind of gobsmacked and was just said, shouldn't we all be feminists? And then they had this kind of weird tiff. Mm. And they stopped dating on the show after that.
Mm.
I just thought that was so interesting that he had such a strong opinion about it that he found it almost offensive if a woman was going to be like, oh no, I want to split it with you.
I have dated a guy who told me that he insists on paying for the first three dates. Three dates?
That's too much.
Do you know, I can sort of think, yeah, Jochen's like, hell no.
You've got bills to pay.
Yeah. I can kind of, like, I don't like there to be inequality, I sort of feel like the person who asks the other one out should sort of get the first thing, but more often than not, in my experience, that's literally like the first round of drinks, because usually I'm going to a bar or something, so if the guy asks me out and they sort of get the first two drinks, I'll just get the next two,
yeah.
They'll get the next two, yeah. And that may end up that after that one day, they've actually spent more than I have. But then it just means that when we go out again, if we make it to a second date, I'll then get the first thing then.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I'm going to fight someone to, like, if they've paid, like, a tenner more.
I feel like offering to pay for something is not, that's not offensive. I mean, buying someone a drink is just a nice gesture if you're on a date or whatever. But, like, when it has a meal, I mean, we're all, like, you know, women owners, we're all fairly thinly stretched. Like, a meal's quite a lot of money, and especially if you're, like, a nice place. So I feel like if you're buying, like, a drink or something, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I really don't see any harm in just going Dutch on the meal.
No, I would never expect a guy to pay for my whole meal.
No,
but
neither.
Neither would I if they really insisted.
Yeah, would you be offended if the guy was like, no, I'm going to pay?
Honestly, I get so awkward about the whole thing. I've actually ended up paying for the whole date, for the last like 3 dates with different guys that I've been on, because I've been too awkward about it. Like, say they go to the bathroom or something and then they bring the check over, I'll be like, oh yeah, okay, I'll just pay for it all. Because I just get too nervous about being like, oh, so how should we split this?
Oh, it is awkward, isn't it?
I just can't deal. I would literally rather pay the bill than have the awkward conversation or have the awkward, like, reach. And they'll be like, oh, no, I've got this. And I'll be like, oh, are you sure?
Oh, I
really?
Know.
Oh, that's okay. don't worry. I can't deal, so I just pay.
It is awkward.
I mean, it is a good premise for a second date, you know? Like, if you pay, you're like, well, you get the next one. Like, really?
Oh, that's a good tactic. I have some girlfriends, though, who literally feel so strongly about, like, splitting things equally that they would, you know, argue with someone. And I have a girlfriend who says she just doesn't want to feel like she owes a man anything, be that money or sexual favours or anything.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that as well. That's why I would feel uncomfortable if a guy kind of just paid for it all. I don't know. It depends what it is as well. If it's like a really fancy meal, you know, and it's a really nice restaurant or whatever, I don't know, but if...
It also depends on your circumstances.
Yeah, when, and your age.
Exactly. When I was a student, I was dating an investment banker who was quite a bit older than me, and, like, he did pay for more stuff because it was kind of just jokes. Like, I literally had no money, and he obviously had, well, I presume, a decent amount, purely by the fact that he was earning money.
Also, that he's not going to want to come to some, like, dingy pub with you that you'd be able to afford.
Exactly. I suggested one place once and he was like, no. And yeah. I was like, all right.
So if he's going to insist on going to nicer places, then, like, I would expect him to foot the bill.
Yeah, fair enough.
That made me develop a taste for good wine, which was then so problematic when it ended and I had to go back to being a student and affording tragic wine.
Echo Falls.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are worse things. Anyway, it's probably about what we've got time for today, isn't it, guys?
Looks like it.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening. We hope you've enjoyed. Please do rate us and subscribe and tell all your friends to tune in again next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.